song, come and dine, come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where we saints are called to feed. He invites you to come and dine. We've been fed the starters. I don't know how yours was. Mine was sweet. I enjoyed it. That will keep me going. We're on the move. The church of God is moving. Maybe we should sing that song next time. Has a table spread.
So glad to be in your house, in your presence. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity
Amen.
That we have, Lord, to commit ourselves to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your children that have opened their pockets, Lord,
Hallelujah.
To bring tithes and offerings, Lord, according to your word. May you bless them, may you bless the use to which they'll be put to, Father. May you bless the song service, the main service, Lord, even our pastor when he comes. We are looking up to you, Father, for the remainder of the service. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's sing that song, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to Jesus. All the time close to Jesus. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances.
Save you. His power still is.
Hallelujah!
I'm so glad that I can see.
Aren't you glad you are one of them?
One of them.
Sister Comfort, one of them.
One of them.
Sister Dumas.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Sister Chimbo, hallelujah.
One of them.
Brother Howard, you're one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. Oh, Jesus.
I'm so glad that I can see one of them.
Listen now, listen now.
Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and powerful service came. Now what he did for them that day, he will do for you the same.
Why, yes, sir.
I'm so glad that I can say,
sing that song slow. There's a deep, pastor's coming, an inward hunger within my soul. I want to enter there. And when you go, it's up to you. You go yourself. It's according to your faith. Small faith, small word. Big faith, big word. Let's go.
There's a deep, inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in his word.
Precious to me this morning. Oh, oh Lord.
now. I love him.
I love him. I love him.
I love you, Lord.
God bless you, saints. God bless each and every one. Let's hope we don't get too academic in this place here. It's good to have a spirit of worship. We do appreciate it. We've come to consecrate this place to the Lord, to be used for His glory. Thank you to the saints that have allowed us to find the place. And it's good to see everybody. Thank you for your prayers while we're away in Poland. We do appreciate it. Greetings from the saints that are there. Many saints were sending greetings, so God bless you richly. Two prayer requests. Brother Mike Kadango lost his grandparent back home in Malawi, so they're asking to be remembered in prayer. And Brother Elson and family are traveling to Zimbabwe, would like to be remembered as well. So why not let's all pray upon this morning, saints. I'm sure we all want to come into the spirit of worship. The song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sure you desire a heart of worship. Let's all pray before we open the word. Thank you, Father, for this place. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this time that you've given unto us, Lord. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy, Lord. I pray for Brother Mike. Pray for his family, Lord. Pray for Brother Elson, Lord. Bless their journey, Lord, I pray. Just watch over them, Lord, I pray. And each other petition, Father, each other design, each other request, Lord. We're looking unto thee at this time to bring ourselves before thee, Lord, upon this day to humble myself unto thee, O Lord Jesus, even at this time, to give unto thee all the glory, Lord. Smadasa, Lord, of my prayer. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord, for all of these things, Lord. May you be glorified indeed. Lord Jesus is our desire, Lord. So appreciate and thank you, Father, for the place, chance, opportunity that you've given unto us, Lord. We're looking into thee now. You help me, Father. So I want to rest in thee. And Lord, I know that Jehovah will take care of it, Lord. Speak unto Lord, Father, Lord, these vessels and these muscles and these cells upon this day. And just minister rest and peace for your glory, Lord, I pray. Just be with your people and help us, Lord, we pray, to wait upon thee now and bring ourselves before thee and guide and lead me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord, I pray. Just be glorified in all things we ask. So we appreciate and thank you, Father, for these things, Lord. Wait upon thee, Lord, even at this time and upon this day, and in Jesus' name and for your glory. So give ourselves to thee, Heavenly Father, even upon this day, this hour. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless your word unto us. Lead us and guide us, Lord, into the spirit of your word. Father, Lord, is our desire for your glory. Lord Jesus is our prayer. So give ourselves to thee. Oh, yes, Lord. I just wait for you. Father, I pray for us. I surrender myself unto thee, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, waiting upon the Lord, dedicating all to thee.
I pray your grace for Pastor now as he stands before us, O God. Father, Lord, it could be, Lord Savior, in that choice of Lord's decisions to go this way or that way. Father, may you lead him, Lord Savior, the right way, Lord. Father, the way that would be a blessing, Lord. Father, to the church, to myself, O God. Lord, to them on mine, Lord Savior, that, Lord, at the end of this, Lord, service, we would say, it was good, Lord, Father, to be here. Lord, to hear the eternal counsel of the Lord. Lord, we pray for our brothers at this time. Lord, I shall Christ, for you will make all things right, perfecting your Savior.
by the ministry of your word. And Lord, may this word take us back to our cross. May this word ignite, Lord, Father, a passion, Lord, and prayer for thee at all times. Bless your Lord, Savior, all we pray. Bless all that are on our lives, even in the midst of this time. Give them their portions.
God bless you, saints. Let's open up the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Thank you so much, Brother Max, for Sunday school. And thank you, Brother Ellie, for last week. It was a very good service, that. A very good start to our pilgrimage. Please be in prayer. This week on Wednesday, we'll be meeting together with a contractor. So we hope to bring some good Christmas news next week. So please keep, we have a very important meeting with them on Wednesday. Matthew, chapter 2. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he said, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. Let's just read two more verses. John chapter 12. Jesus said to us in the book of John, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. May the Lord bless his words. Let's be seated, saints. Just to take a thought today, we're not using any slides. I just put sent one to the trustees just for the title for today. We'd like to speak about the Christmas experience. And if you had to give it a subtitle, it'd be Children of the Light. So a Christmas experience. Where this came from was when we were speaking at the house meetings the other day, and even on Wednesday, we mentioned it from this message, personal experience with God. I really like just a couple of paragraphs the prophet said. He says, speaking about Moses, and he spoke about Moses being in the condition that he was, and he says, Moses, he had lost the vision of victory. He says, when Moses came into the presence of that great light, when he came into the presence of the burning bush, he says, watch faith take hold right then. Old things passed away. Moses now had a new vision. He has a revelation. He has an experience. So just that, whatever time that it was that the Lord allowed Moses to spend in his presence, as soon as Moses stepped into the presence of that great light, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, it was a total transformation, because now the prophet says he got a new vision. He had no vision in his life before that. But now Moses got a new vision. He says he had a revelation. Before, he had a lot of knowledge. But when he stepped into that light, all of a sudden things became revelation to him. And he said, and he had an experience. And that's what he's speaking about, a personal experience with God. And he says, if anything the church needs tonight, and what we're trying to do, friends, is bring a fresh vision from the presence of God to let the people see that God still lives and reigns and is moving with his church, and he will until Jesus comes to receive it. A vision, an experience. You know, so when you read quotes like it, depending on where you come from, if you come from a Pentecostal background, you're thinking about tongues, interpretation of tongues, the glory, the feelings, you know, the lights, the cameras, the action, and all those things that go along with it. If you come from a background, maybe your church back home, you're thinking it's kicking over the chairs and people must be boogieing and all that kind of stuff. You know, wherever we come from, we have our own understanding of what an experience with God is. So I thought maybe just to clarify things, because the prophet says in the Holy Ghost series, you can't seek for something that you don't understand. If you're going to seek for the Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost? What is it given for? And how will you know that you got it if you don't know what it is and the results that it brings? So it might just be a good thing for us to go back to this Christmas story and have a look at what experience they had in the days of the first coming of Christ, because that was the seventh seal. That was the coming of the Lord. And let's see what happened to the people back then. And then let's try to place ourselves there, because God works in diverse ways with people. We're all made in different ways. The way the Lord wants to reveal himself in a personal experience to you, it will be a different way than me. He works according to your temperament. He works according to the current condition that you are. He knows exactly what you need at that time. And that's why he knows, even the preaching of the word, it'll minister to people, different people in different way. Same thing can be said, and it does one thing to one person and something else to another, because that's how the Lord deals with us. No, God doesn't make us all the same. We don't all have the same experiences. He doesn't want us all to sing the same, thank God. He doesn't want us all to, you know, we don't all preach the same. We don't all witness the same. We don't all look the same. We don't all like the same colors. But you'll find there's something in common with all of these experiences. You know, if you find Jacob as an experience, you find Moses as a different experience, you find Paul on the Damascus Road as an experience, they all had different experiences, but all brought about the same result. And that's what we're desiring to see. And that's how we'll know if you've had a real experience with God, by the results that it brings. And that's how we'll be able to see. You know, and if you need a fresh experience with God, let's really seek God in this season for a fresh experience with God. So I'm just going to take it from the message, the great shining light. You know, this is 1957, 22nd of December. Again, I say anyone who's not listening to a message, because I know people always ask me, what message should I listen to? Why not listen to this? It's a wonderful Christmas message. It's a 1957 message, but it's a very powerful message. There's times you listen to a message. I've read that message many times, and you listen to it again, and it's completely different. You know what it's like? I love it when it's like that. You'll even go back and sometimes look at the cover and say, but hey, is this the same message that I read before? I like that. Yeah, I really do appreciate it, because God's revelation is progressive, as we will see. The Lord doesn't want us to have a stagnant experience, that what he revealed to you a few years back is the standard now what he's going to reveal. God's revelation is eternal. You know, the tree of life, we can just keep climbing higher and higher and higher and partaking of the fruits of the tree of life, eating of the revelation, eating of the communion and the fellowship and, you know, the manifestations of his spirit and the revelation of his word. And when it comes to Christmas time, I don't know, I always like to get the way the prophet did into that, like, Christmas story, because there's so many different things we can glean from there. Because like I said, it was the end of the Jewish age. It was the coming of the Lord. It's such a parallel of our time now. But you'll see that God has always worked in simplicity. Yeah, God always works in simplicity. We're always expecting the big something, and he comes in a stable. You know, we're always expecting there's going to come a big herald from the king. God's going to send down 12,000 or 10 legions of angels, and they're going to be dressed in scarlet, blowing trumpets. The king is born. He doesn't. He sends a star. You know, God really hides himself in simplicity. And we've got to tune in with God if you want to walk with God. You've got to understand his ways, because his ways are not our ways. He's not going to change himself to come and work according to our ways. He wants us to yield ourselves, become as little children, and get in tune with his ways. And the more we can do that, the more blessed it becomes. And the more restful this life becomes, because his ways never fail. You know, my ways fail on a regular basis. You know, I don't know, maybe in the majority of the times, same as yours. Don't act like yours don't either. We're all the same. But what we're wanting is to get in tune with him. And that's why he gives us his word. He gives us his spirit. He gives us revelation to tune us in, so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you might prove that acceptable will of God, that we can find what is good and what is right and is what is acceptable to the Lord. And then we can forsake our thoughts and our ways, and we can walk in the light as He is in the light, and then things will take place that we never dreamed could take place. Reconciliation can come in ways we never expected. Manifestations can come, healings can come, deliverance can come, because when you're walking in the light, walking in the line of duty, all things are possible. Amen. You come to a Red Sea, He's going to open the Red Sea. Amen. It doesn't matter the situation. We just need to be walking in the light. So the prophet in this message, the great shining light, he's speaking of these magi. And there's something about these magi which is fascinating, because they're Gentiles. And they come from Babylon or maybe that side of the world somewhere. Yeah, they're not exactly candidates that you'd be expecting in the Jewish dispensation to be walking in the light with God. But these people speak of us, the coming of the Gentiles to the light. You know, this was the transition. Soon the gospel's going to go to the Gentiles. You see what's happening in Israel now. You see the way the Lord is dealing with the Jews. You'll start seeing there's a transition taking place. The Holy Ghost is starting to go back to them again, just as much as the Holy Ghost was leaving the Jews then and coming to the Gentiles. So it's a real parallel of our day. So the prophet speaks of these magi. How did they know about God? And he says, obviously, they had the old sages and they had their ancient writings and all their traditions. Yeah, but he says, but in the days of the captivity, when Daniel was made the ruler of the Magi, that's when the word of the Lord was introduced to these people. You know, so they had a knowledge of the one true God. They knew the prophetic word as it had come through Daniel. Daniel would teach those Magi. And God had manifested himself in the days of Daniel that he was the true God. Because there were so many situations where God brought situations and the king called all of his wise men and they had not a single idea of what the handwriting on the wall meant. They had no idea what the king had dreamt. They had no idea what any of those visions meant. And then they brought a certain man, Daniel. And here was a revealer of secrets. Here was God manifesting himself through his people. God leaving himself a witness even in Babylon. God showing that he was a true God. And that was stored away in Babylon. And that was still referred to by the Magi. God will always have a remnant. God will always leave himself a witness of truth. So though these Magi, these wise men, they were the advisors to the king. They were greatly honored men in their days. Now, whenever a king was born, they'd always travel to the birth of the king. And they were the honored guests of the king. But with all of their learning and all of the understanding which they knew, and they knew a lot of things about the stars and knew a lot of things about different things, you know, God had made sure they had access to definitive truth, to an absolute, which is a wonderful thing. You know, so that's how they knew about these things. And the prophet speaks about how did they worship? How did they approach God? Because for God to come and reveal himself to these men, they must have come into the spirit of worship. Because you look inside of your life, if you're not in the spirit of worship, it's impossible for God to reveal himself to you. You know, there's got to be an atmosphere. There's got to be a condition of heart. There's got to be a certain approach. That's how we have song worship. And that's why we have all these kind of things. Because we need to come into the spirit of worship. You know, we're coming from home. We're coming from out there. Many times the atmosphere out there isn't conducive unto worship. We won't get too personal now. Maybe we can't find the shoe and somebody's late to the car and this and that and the other. But you've got to get yourself in the spirit of worship, because you can never hear spiritual things because they're spiritually discerned unless you get yourself in that kind of a condition. So somehow these magi broke into the spirit of worship. And in this message, you know, the prophet always does things in such a nice drama and explains that he's done his studies. He's studied, he says, Hampton, the historian, and different ones. He's got a real basis for what he's saying. But the way he brings it in like as a drama, it puts you right in the situation when you get into the messages. And he says how they would get up and early in the evening, they would gather, they'd go up into the high place. They'd go up into the mountains and there was a certain castle, a place for the magi. And they'd go and eat and have their dinner and fellowship and that. And when it would start getting dark now, because they waited for the stars to come out, he said they'd get up into the observation tower and they'd light their sacred fire. He says, because they believed that God was a consuming fire. their understanding, maybe they worshipped the fire, I don't know, which was wrong if they did because they were ignorant, but they knew that God reveals himself in fire. Yeah, and that's a powerful thought because God is revealed in light and God is revealed in the fire. Moses was turned aside by a fire and God was dwelling in the midst of the fire and God spoke to him and the light came forth and transformed his life from the fire. He says, but the most sacred thing was fire. They believed the one true God lived in fire. And the prophet says, and that's right, he does. And they watched this fire, you know. So as they were sitting around the fire and they're watching this fire, and then they would look up now as the stars came up. And he says they were well trained. They knew the movement of every one of the heavenly bodies. Maybe on Wednesday, by the grace of God, we'll look at that. Because people don't understand the gospel in the stars. You know, Babylon has scared people away from a truth. You know, because Satan's taken the stars and he's turned it into astrology. But Satan's a perverter of truth. You know, sometimes when you find a scarecrow standing, that means there's very good seed in there if you'll just take your time. Now, the more scarecrows in the field, the more you're going to find that there's something valuable inside of that field. And the scarecrow is just to scare the birds away. And that's what it was. These people had an understanding of God's first Bible, which is the stars, the heavens, because the Bible actually says God calls them all by name. God gave every single star a name. And he placed those stars in their courses. And he speaks in the book of Job about the influence of the Pleiades. And he speaks of Orion. And he speaks of, you know, all of these Arcturus and the different stars. And they all have a significance. Now the devil perverts it. And people now start looking in the newspaper to see, I'm a Gemini. What's going to happen to me this week? Now, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger and this and that and the other. And you're already married. Why do I want to meet a tall, dark stranger? You know, it's like it's nonsense. It's a devil's impersonation of something. But it's amazing how people get caught in those things. And that becomes an introduction to other dark arts. Then people start getting into tarot cards and they start getting into all this fortune telling. And then you get tied up into a spiritual dimension of bondage by those things. No, but there's a genuine something. So these people didn't worship the stars. But the prophet says they would look up. They were well trained. They knew the move of every one of the great heavenly bodies of stars. And they watched them diligently for any move. The way we study the word, you know, the way that we'll know the scriptures, and we know that modern events are made clear by prophecy. That when you see the movement among the nations and we see, you know, things taking place in the earth, we take it back to the scriptures to get an understanding of what do these things mean. Because God placed inside of his word, first of all, you know, everything that we need to identify what's happening in our age. And in our day, God placed in the first Bible, in the stars, the movement of the stars. If you knew how to read them, we're not supposed to, because that's not our gospel. Here's our gospel. But in that dispensation, they knew that God does things in the heavens first. Every movement, every eclipse, everything that takes place, the Jews believe it up to now. Now, they do believe the eclipse of the moon, it's a bad omen for the Jews. And the eclipse of the sun, whatever, it's a bad omen for the Gentiles. Now, they believe those things and they take it according to the scripture. But these magi knew that when something moves up there, it's a portent of something to come on the earth. Because God always gives a warning. God always gives a sign. God's always going to try to prepare his people. That's why he sends signs. That's how Moses came with signs down to Egypt. Now that's why God sends John the Baptist as a sign. Now, because he wants to prepare himself. He doesn't want an event to catch you unawares. So he sends the forerunners. And that can be signs. It can be different things that he sends to try to get people to stop and to think. You know, to try to get you so they say, but hey, what's going on here? I need to walk a little bit closer to the Lord because he doesn't want that something to take you unaware. So he does things in the heavens as well. The prophet shows when the Pope went to Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years, there was the eclipse of the moon just before that. Yeah, just 6 days before, I think it was. Yeah, so you find that the moon, speaking of the church, and it's blotting out. Yeah, just as the Pope goes to Jerusalem, the ancient capital where the church began. In the book of Acts, so you find that what is happening in the heavens just a few days before was signifying something about to take place on the earth. But unless a person has the same spirit as Daniel, who has eyes to see and ears to understand, to hear, we'll never understand those things. We'll be like the wise men in Babylon. We have no understanding what many, many tickle or fasten means. But we'll all have our ideas, because every single one of us has an idea and opinion. They say if you have two Jews speaking to one another, you have three opinions. And I think it's the same in the message believers. Yeah, put two message believers together, there's three opinions. Everybody has their opinion. That's how we need to bring our opinions subject to thus saith the Lord. We've got to bring our opinion subject to the absolute of the word, to the headship of Christ. And that's when we can find unity one with another, when we do it like that. So he speaks about how they would watch those heavenly bodies. And he says, if you'll notice, God only reveals himself to those who search and long to see him. Hallelujah. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. You know, so these men, they were approaching God. They were walking in the light, as much light as they had. And they were sacredly approaching the scriptures they had. They were sacredly worshiping God with as much revelation as they had. You know, they'd prepare themselves and they start drawing near to the Lord. And the moment you start drawing near to the Lord, he's going to start drawing near to you. You know, it's the nature of God to do this. Then he says, let's say on a certain night after their feast was over, the party goes up into the observation tower and the great heavenly bodies start to appear in the sky. And they started opening the old manuscripts of long ago and of certain things that were predicted. And maybe the subject that night, which they spoke on for a long time, was the great fall of the kingdoms and the collapse of great empires. Yeah, so now they're bringing in Daniel and the image, you know, that the gold ended and then came the Medes and Persians, the silver, and they got to the brass, Alexander the Great. And maybe they're speaking about, you know, that all the shame that many, says the prophet says, they would speak about it with shame, all the bloodshed and the tyrants that rose up and what had happened. And they just grieved when they think back, when they get in a spiritual frame of mind. It's like us in this age. You grieve by the abominations that are done, and then you see the sufferings and you see all of that. And you know, and they start reviewing and looking back at the history of these things. And the prophets is looking at all the wars that had torn the earth and bathed it with the blood of their comrades. And these men of spiritual understanding, it was to their shame. They felt the shame. He says, but as the night grew into the middle part, they're speaking about that. Maybe they're speaking about these great kingdoms rising and kingdoms falling. He says they got into the middle part, maybe 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Perhaps he says they were singing hymns. Perhaps they were praying. But they were doing something. For the Lord to shine forth the way that he did into their life at that stage, they had got themselves into a certain spiritual attitude. That's what he says. They were praying. They must have been in a spiritual attitude. Because God only worships where there's unity and spirit. So they got themselves united around something. They got themselves in a one accord. They got themselves in the spirit of worship. Yeah, and you know what it's like. And you've been waiting on the Lord and you go through different things. Then there gets a certain place where everything just stills down. And his presence is drawing near. And you know that he's there. And what a sweet and a precious thing. And what a sweet and a precious time that is. The prophet says, God will come to us this morning. Yeah, and he'll answer our prayers if we can only get in spiritual unity with his word and with him. That's all that he wants. Yeah, and if I get in spiritual unity with his word and with him, and you get in spiritual unity with his word and him, we're going to be in spiritual unity with one another. I mean, I don't have to try to force myself, and you don't have to try to psych me into getting into one accord with you. You just get in the spirit, I get in the spirit, all's going to be well. Harmony, one accord's going to take care of itself. If each of us just tune our instrument right, we're all going to be in tune with one another. He says that. So he says, God always does that. He says, the men on the way to Emmaus, when they started to speak the word, when they started to speak about Jesus, the atmosphere started to change. And then Jesus himself drew near. My, and that was when the transformation, now they're starting to walk in the light now. They're starting to walk with him. And Jesus now starts to unveil things which they never knew. We need to get ourselves into that kind. He says, somehow they were talking about the word. He says, and they started speaking about their sages gone by. Many of them were idolaters. And it brought shame and disgrace upon their people. And we can speak back on all the heresies which we've seen even in our message. And the shame and the reproach that it's brought, you know. We can also bow our heads sometimes in shame at some of the things that have gone before us like them. He says, but then I see coming from the castle One with a scroll in his hand. So somebody came now. They've walked faithfully in this light God's given them. They've got in a spirit of worship. They're speaking of the kingdoms and the rise of the kingdoms. Now the Lord wants to reveal something to them. And somebody comes, he says, gives them a scroll. And it's the scroll of Daniel. And they open it up. And while they're speaking on kingdoms falling, they read a portion of Daniel where they see a stone being cut out of a mountain without hands, and it smote the kingdoms of the earth, and the kingdoms of the earth became as chaff on the summer threshing floor. And this great stone raised into a mountain that covered all the earth, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So that all of a sudden there came a great hope inside of themselves. When they're looking at all the fallings, failings of man's kingdoms, now the revelation, the light shines in on them. Oh, there's coming a kingdom that's going to have no end. It's going to destroy all of these sinful kingdoms, destroy all of these earthly kingdoms, and it's going to grow into a great kingdom that's going to cover the earth. And they must have said, wow, if only we could be in that kingdom. If only we could meet the king of that kingdom. What a wonderful thing that it would be. Imagine if that king was born. Wow, we'll take our gifts and go and offer them to him. You know, they're starting to get into the spirit of it. And they knew that there's coming an everlasting kingdom appointed of the one true and living God. He says, and as they thought on these things, one of them must have looked up and the star appeared. Now, friends, I don't think we really understand. He says there was a stranger among them. Suddenly they look up and they just see the star and this light is shining down. They saw a light they'd never seen before. He says it was a majestic star that had not until this time come into the view of their eyes. But there it was. Why? Because the scriptures must be fulfilled. Yeah, it was scriptures. There must rise a star. And Jacob, Balaam said, there's got to be the scriptures fulfilled. But now, we were reading about an experience with God. Now, I don't think we realize what an impact, what a spiritual experience this star was to them. Now, the only way you can understand how powerful this revelation was and this experience was to them by seeing what they did after this. For people to forsake home, lands, families, pack their camels, head off how many months, you don't even know. Yeah? Down through bandit-infested territories, down through the desert into a land that you've never been. Something's happened to you. Something very profound and something very spiritual has happened to you. You know, you've been in worship, you've prepared yourself, you've drawn near to the Lord, and now the Lord shines light inside of your soul. Like I said, it's so easy when you read inside of the Bible to underestimate the power and the significance of what happened to somebody. Like I say, when Jesus said to the woman at the well, I that speak to you, I'm he. It's just a few words. But to her, it was a transformation. It was a pivotal time. She was never going to be the same. When Jesus said to Peter, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, you don't know the preparation that had gone before for God to get a person in the right condition so he can come with that life-transforming revelation at that time. Now, you and I will just look at us words on a page, but I'm sure Peter, whenever he thought back to that, he got tears in his eyes. Yeah, he would sit back there the way Brother Biskell would speak about those testimonies with the prophet and say, I came to the transforming experience of my life. When I was walking out there and the prophet said to me, he put his arm around me and said, Brother Eddie, I was out on the mountains today. I think it was that mountain over there with Brother Bud. And the sun was shining warmly on my back and he came to me there. And I believe you've got three questions. I mean, yeah, when you're not in the spirit, it's like just a nice story. But now you look inside of your life. You think when you were in darkness, yeah, and the Lord started working inside of your life, and the deep started calling to the deep, and you didn't know how to worship him. You didn't understand yourself. You didn't understand your life. And then the light shone in on you. That's what happened to these wise men. The light suddenly shone in on them. This divine light shone into the experience. And they were in a spirit of worship. They were prepared, you know, to worship God. And God said, now the time is right. I'm going to reveal myself to them. This is going to be a life-transforming experience for these men. They're never going to be the same. And they were never the same after this. That one passion after this was to worship this king. They just said, well, doesn't matter what it costs. Doesn't matter where they have to go. Doesn't matter the things they have to go through. That's not just an intellectual academic experience. That's a powerful thing. That's what the prophet is speaking about in this message here, a personal experience with God. When he says that Moses, he received a new vision. These major received a new vision. The whole vision of their life changed then. Maybe before that they were thinking to become, hey, maybe I can get my I don't know what goes after a doctorate, you know. Prophet Faithful, your postdoctorate, whatever that it is. I'll get my postdoctorate in celestial studies and maybe I'll get promoted to some bigger advisor to the king. Maybe they had the ambitions before. But when this light shone in, all their ambitions changed. They didn't care about those things anymore. They just wanted to find this king. They just wanted to find the one that had sent them this light. Yeah, and that's why it was a real experience these people had with God. That's what I'm trying to say. And we have different understandings of an experience with God. This was an experience with God, a divine experience that he gave to these men. And the same God gave you your experience. When I was dead in sin and trespasses, so dark and depressed and done, he shone his light in on me. Unexpectedly, on a certain day, at a certain place, in a certain time, it transformed my life. It changed my vision for the first time in my life. I knew God is real. And God has heard my prayer. Before that, he was a Sunday school story. You know, he was just pictures on a Catholic children's Bible. That's who God was. But God at his appointed time and an appointed place, he knows how to reveal himself to you and shine that light. And it's something so profound and so spiritual and sacred to you that you can't even find words sometimes to explain exactly what it was. Because when God reveals himself to somebody, you can't put it into human words. The prophet says sometimes you need to find another tongue. No, to express what it really, really meant to you. Yeah, he says when he went beyond the curtain of time, yeah, we said it before, he said, profound, can't explain it. He says, you can't find, perfection doesn't do it justice. He says, you just have to be there. He says, the only way you'll ever understand what it's like there is to be there. And the only way you'll ever understand what this meant to these men was you have your experience. Then you can say, okay, in my measure, I understand what these guys went through. When the Lord broke through into their darkness and revealed himself in the light. It was a real, real experience because this was a true spiritual light that shone in on them. The stars signified that, but God shone light on them. Something struck them at that time. Listen how the prophet explains it. He says, there was a stranger among them. He says, Brother Bram, do you think God will deal with those magis? Now, friends, this will really, really help us in becoming less exclusive a group of people because we as message believers, we're very judgmental. Yeah. If somebody's not in the message, they're going to hell. Yeah, that's what many people believe. This is what the prophet says. Would God deal with those magi? It's written in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God in sundry times and in diverse manners, all kinds of manners spoke to the fathers. God has many different ways of speaking. God knows your language you need to hear. And he knows my language. When he comes to the shepherds, he's going to come with angels. That's what they need. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to understand a star. But when he comes to the Gentiles, he comes in a star because that's what they're going to understand. So God's going to come and speak to you in the language you understand. Maybe different than I need to hear at that time. You know, but he knows the best way to reveal himself, to get the point across, to get our attention. And that's what he did. The prophet says, God works in all manner of kinds. In Acts 10:35, God is no respecter of persons. This is what it says. But he honors those who in every nation desire to serve him in righteousness. There's people in Dublin going to church today, don't come here, but they're desiring to serve God in righteousness. And they're walking in as much light as God has shown them, and God will respect them for that. God can never judge a person who's never known greater light. If you're faithful to the light that's been given to you, that's all God expects of a person. Then he's going to give you greater light. But God can't judge you for light that you don't know. I mean, hey, that's not fair. When I was in Pentecost, I walked with God in the best way that I knew. God was real to me in that measure. The message takes it the step higher, but nobody can tell me I didn't know God in Pentecost. God delivered me from my sins when I was there. I was living a sanctified life. I received the Holy Ghost. You know, God was real to me then. So when people come and tell me, outside of the message, God doesn't deal with anybody. I say, but when I wasn't in the message, God dealt with me. And that prepared me for the message. The message, as we'll see, is the original light. But there's people walking in the best light which they have. You know, I don't think we should condemn people like that, because you and I were the same one day. You and I were faithful to the light which we had. And God brought us to the greater light. And God hasn't finished with everybody yet. Right unto the end, it's come out of her, my people. The prophet says his people will be in Babylon right to the end. Right at the end, he'll still be calling people out of there. So God still has his children scattered around, friends. You know, this isn't an exclusive club, that if you're not in this building today, you're not a child of God. God has many children out there who don't yet know the fullness of the light. Yet God respects their worship today because they're faithful to the light that they have. The way he respected these magi, because they were faithful to the light which they had, though they had Aaron mixed in with it. But they were walking in the light to the best of their ability. Listen how the prophet says it, just because I know people will say, hey. I'll say, good. Let me show what the prophet says. He says, in every nation, those who desire to serve him in righteousness. The prophet says, though you be in error, yet in the righteousness of the objective of your heart, you desire to serve God, God will honor that. Amen. Though you're in error, we believed God was a Trinity. God still respected us because we knew no better. Yeah, we didn't know exactly who God was, but something had happened inside of us. We were worshiping. God accepted that. When we got on our knees in prayer, God spoke to us. God answered our prayers. God protected us. God led us. And in due season, he brought us to greater light. So the prophet says, though you be in error, yet in the righteous, he says, the objective of your heart, you desire to serve God. God will honor that. Therefore, denomination has no lines set that will stop God. God isn't stopped because somebody goes through a Baptist door. God says, I don't care about these doors and these buildings. I'm looking at the attitude of your heart. Amen. If somebody has the right objective in their heart, they are a seeker of truth, God is going to meet them. Amen. And he might do it progressively. You know, we had to go progressively before we came to where we are. I appreciate my times in Pentecost. I learned very good things there. Amen. Yeah, and there were people that were real, real people of God who helped me when I was there. And I never, ever want to look down on that season and that time that I spent there. The prophet had his time in the Baptist church. And there were men of God in the Baptist church who helped him before the season came where God was going to take him. And now the original light was going to shine down. Yeah, so he's the prophet. He really had a very good balance on these things. He says, denominational lines cannot stop God, because God will look upon the motive of the human heart. And there he will work from that spot. Amen. You see, God looks where people are. He knows the attitude of their heart. And he'll work from there. And that's the same as us today. Friends, we can sit in the message and have the wrong objective in our heart. And we've long lost our experience with God. And yet there can be a Baptist person, an old Baptist in their church with the right objective. They'll receive more of God today than you'll receive of God or I'll receive of God. Because it's the attitude of our heart. It's not a group thing, this. God's provided place of worship is not a location. Yeah, it is a location. It's in your soul. It's in your heart. It's when your heart is right, like with these magi, God will meet with you there. And he'll reveal himself to you there. But he'll only reveal as much as you can stand. He knows sometimes we have to go through different stages to get to where he wants us to be. And that's how God revealed himself to them. And he says in paragraph 50, we find these magi's honest in their heart, desiring to see that one true God, looking for his prophecy to be fulfilled. The Lord shall raise a kingdom that shall have no end. It was at that time the star, which we know today as called star, appeared in the sky. So he's showing us straight away, yes, There were stars, constellations that signified it. But this star they saw wasn't a star. He says, we called it a star. But you said, it wasn't really a star. It was a supernatural light. It was the same light that Paul met and transformed. It was the same light that led the children of Israel. Because this light's going to lead them all the way and then come and stand over this table. Stars don't do that. A normal star is not going to lead you and then go out for a while and then come back on again and lead you and come and stand over a stable. The proof that it was a supernatural light. How would they ever have found the stable in Bethlehem?
That's right.
How? Three men. They came into Jerusalem. They needed someone to help them. No one can help them. They go to Bethlehem. How were they going to find Jesus in the house? And it wasn't in a manger. He was in a house at this time. How are they going to find the house? They don't know the name. They don't know the occupation of his father. They needed a supernatural guide.
Amen.
You see, they needed a light. And the light came and stood over the house where they were, the Bible says. So you can see there's the natural, but then there's a supernatural aspect to it. Just as much as we have the natural here, the word, but we need the supernatural behind here as well to guide us in his word. You know, that's what they had at that time. So these magi, they came and something really, really happened to them. He says, I can imagine that those magi with one accord stood speechless. Now that's a real experience. I can imagine Moses when he came into the presence of the burning bush, he was speechless. It was so profound. You know, he had heard of this God, but now for the first time, God shone into his heart. God now revealed himself to this man. And it's profound. You'll be speechless. You don't know what to say. God is real. He's revealing himself to me. That's how these magi felt. They were speechless, the prophets, as they looked up. Paragraph 53, he says, but they had watched the heavenly lights. This light seemed to be different from the rest of them. You see. You know? And it's true, friends. He goes on to say, we've watched today the lights in the church, the Methodists, they have some light, the Baptists, Pentecostal, Presbyterians. But to those who look for him, there seems to be a different light that has shined.
Hallelujah.
That's declaring him. Because the original light is back.
Amen.
That's what Elijah comes to restore. That's what the message is. It's the original light is back again. Amen. Others had partial light, and then the Lutherans had light, and they walked in the light for a season. Then they lost their light, and then God had to light the Methodists for a season, and then the Pentecostals. Then at the end, he shines down the original light once again. He says, it doesn't mean people don't have light, but this is a different light. You know, they'd seen lights, they'd seen stars, they'd seen many, many different things. But when they saw this light, they knew this is different. This is what we've always been looking for, though we didn't know we were looking for it. You know, they were really, really spellbound, he says, is the word that he uses by this light. He says, but to those who look for him, there seems to be a different light has begun to shine that's declaring him the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
In the great magnificence, beauty, and power of a heavenly body that sent in the power of in the form of the Holy Ghost in the last days to the church to declare his revelation.
Amen.
Power. Now, friends, that's what an experience is. An experience is when he reveals himself in his beauty. He reveals himself in his glory. He reveals himself to you. And it's the most profound thing that's ever happened to you. You found something that's perfect when in this world you've never found anything perfect. For the first time, you find something that satisfies. You find something that you cannot put your words to. Remember the Song of Solomon? He's altogether lovely.
Amen.
You just find this something which just encapsulates all that your heart has ever desired. And it's revealing itself to you. It might be in simplicity, in a small way at first, but even just that initial shining of the light, it'll completely transform your life. Now you'll never be the same again when he shines his light inside of your heart. Paragraph 56. Now the prophet from paragraph 56 starts speaking of what this experience is. He says, and there they stood spellbound. That means you are just overawed by something. You know those situations where you never want it to end. You just stay and say, Lord, please, if this can just be forever, I don't want to leave this place. He may just open up something to you in the Word. You might be listening to a message and it becomes manna to your soul. You never want to leave that. You say, but I didn't know. It's like you spell, but you don't want to ruin the experience by saying something or doing something. You just want to get on your knees. You just want to lay on your face and say, Lord, just continue to shine your light upon me. That's what's happening to these men in their own way. When this light shines down into the experience, in their attitude of worship, something takes place inside of them that they're never going to be the same, these men. He says, one could not speak to the other, for the glory of this light had spellbound them. Wow, it's wonderful, friends. That's how we say intellect is okay, but intellect doesn't produce this. Intellect will reason, intellect will find fault, intellect will criticize. But when something strikes your soul, your heart, you know, when he comes and reveals himself to the real you inside of there, friends, that's what a real Christmas experience is. This is the Christmas experience they had. The prophet says, oh, how it is today, my poor decrepit friend, that a man that never knew his power to give new light and to give new hope, when he walks into the presence of the divine person of Christ, with a faith that holds him spellbound to his majesty, it isn't like walking to the altar. So the prophet's saying, look, don't minimize this. Don't limit God by own experience. He says, people say, yeah, look, I went to the altar. I remember that time. He says, don't limit it to that. No, there's something beyond that. There's a revelation. There's an experience beyond just a conviction in your heart and putting up your hand to receive Christ. He says, neither is it like going to the pool to be baptized. It's beyond water baptism, though that's good. There is an experience that goes along with that. It's walking into a light that you've never witnessed before. It's walking into something divine and pure that reveals Christ to you that you've never experienced before. That's what's happening to these men. That's what happened to Moses in the burning bush. That's the experience that he had. He walked into something that he had never experienced before. And this made God so real. This made God so personal. This answered all of his questions. When he had lost his vision, when he was discouraged, this came and gave him a fresh vision. This gave him, the prophet says, a fresh revelation. This gave him a fresh experience. Our friends, that's what God wants at Christmas. That's the real Christmas experience. And we need this on a regular basis. Because this world and this age, it sure wears us down quickly. Now you quickly lose your vision. Now you quickly run out your previous experience. We need something fresh. We need something real. And something that makes him real. Something that makes us spellbound again. Because this brings real worship. This brings acceptable service. When you're doing it from this perspective. You have this kind of an experience. From there, what you're going to offer is going to be very, very pleasing to, as with these men with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They didn't just all of a sudden come up with a perfect offering for the Lord from the intellect. That was the fruits of the experience. This revelation. Now they went to find the best that they had. Each of them bringing their own gift. There were individual gifts. Diverse gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. One was made in a certain way. When this light shone on him, he only thought about gold. I need to give him gold. The other one, when the light shone in him in this kind of a way, think, what am I going to give to this king? This light is showing that this king is born. There's something. This signifies something on earth. Yeah. This light, this revelation is glory. Where's this king? Where are we going to find this king? And all he can think about, wow, if ever I find the king, I'm going to take that best frankincense that I've got there, that I've been reserving for this time. You know, it's expensive. It's for the special occasion. I'm going to bring that. I'm going to come and present it to him. And the final one, the way that he's made, maybe he's a more melancholy sort of a guy. You know, he thinks of the myrrh, you know. Hey, if I find it, I'm going to take that myrrh. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to offer it to him. Take it to the New Testament, John chapter 12. The prophet speaks of it in this message. Mary with her alabaster box. Something shone in on her. She had a fresh something in the presence of Christ. And she got an inspiration and said, I need to give him something. Such a king like this. Wow, what is revealing himself to me? And she goes and gets the best that she has. She gets the alabaster box, comes and breaks it and pours it up. And she's anointed me for my burial. No, she came with a perfectly appropriate gift. What she offered was exactly what he needed. Amen. It was so satisfying. That fragrance filled the room. Jesus, they say, well, that was, I think, 4 days before he was crucified. Jesus would have gone to the cross still smelling of that fragrance. Because that was strong. You go and read about that spikenard, spikenard. It was, well, that was someone was anointed with that. It really, really got into you. And for days and days and days, you'd smell with that fragrance. So when they took him down and laid him in the tomb, he was still fragrant with that fragrance. He was still anointed. How did Mary know that? How do you and I know anything which is acceptable to the Lord? We just receive the revelation, a fresh experience, and then we just let the impulse of our soul, we walk in the light, and whatever he leads us to do, you find that becomes a really acceptable service. But we as men, that's our problem. We think things through too much. Now we're out with the calculator. We're out with the notebook. Now we're drawing the flow chart. Just say, maybe if I take this, No, away with the flow chart and the calculator. When you walk in the light and that's something, inspiration strikes your soul. And you say, I want to tell someone about the Lord. Or the Lord lays your neighbor upon your heart. Or an impulse comes, a sweet, sweet influence of Pleiades comes in your soul to tell you to phone your neighbor or to speak to a brother or a sister. Follow that through and see. That becomes a sweet fragrance before the Lord because it's coming from a real fresh experience. And that's what these men did. It came from an experience. Listen how he says it. He says it's walking into a light you've never witnessed before. It's an anchor of divine faith. This experience, Christmas experience. Yeah, once the Lord comes and speaks to you and reveals himself to you again, you get a new faith. Amen. The prophet said that about Moses. He would have doubted before. Maybe my mom was wrong telling me that I was supposed to be the deliverer. But when he stood in the presence of that light, the faith anchored inside of him. Now he knew who he was. Now he knew who God was and what God wanted him to do. Doesn't matter if all Egypt comes against him now. When he's walking in that light, after that experience in the light, oh, friends, he has a new faith. Faith has anchored inside of this man. He says it'll put an anchor of divine faith that'll call anything contrary to the word of God as those wasn't. It puts new life. Do you need a transfusion of divine life today? We need it. Because we can't do anything in our own strength. We soon run out of our human strength. We run out of patience with one another. We run out of filial love with one another. We need an infusion of something that never fails, of something that is divine, of something that is pure, of something that will really meet the need. Amen. No, we need this present tense current oil and wine. Amen. On the Jericho road. That's what you need today. That's what you all need at this Christmas time. That's something that will minister deep down beyond the realm of reasoning and human understanding. Right in the place of our insecurities and right in the place where, you know, we're unsure of this and the other. And he just comes in and peace be still. And he pours that oil in that wine. And you come back into the presence of the shepherd once again. And in his presence, that's where I am strong. In his presence, that's where I belong. And then he raises you up now, and you're in the refuge, you're in the secret place of the Most High once again. It's just you and him, and that's all that really matters. Amen. You know, when Mary came and did that, even the worst sin in the city in Luke 7, when she came and, you know, washed his feet with her tears, that wasn't a conducive atmosphere. Yeah, it was Simon the Pharisee saying, yeah, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what manner of. She was the worst sin in the city. She didn't care. It was just her and him. That's what real worship is. You come to church. You don't care about the people next to you. You get in a place. You just want to worship the Lord. We as men, we don't like people to see us cry. I was saying to Brother Greg that when we were preaching on the last service in Poland, there were many times in the pulpit I wanted to cry because his glory was so powerful. It was such a nice thing. Hey, and you have to hold it back. But Brother Greg says, why don't you just cry? That's what I do. And I said, oh yeah, duh, I should have just done that. Because it's a good thing to weep. Jesus wept. But we want to be like we men, you know, we mustn't cry. Yet Jesus wept. That was an expression of how he felt. It was a natural something that should take place. That's how the prophet says, if you don't want these dry-eyed confessions, you know, there's no feeling in it. There's no life. No, we don't want that. We want to come beyond that. We want to come back to, like Paul says, a new and a living way. Through the veil, that is through his body. When he opened the veil, he opened the way for us to have a new and a living way once again. Where when you read in the Bible, you're listening to the message, it's living waters once again. It's flowing into your soul and it's ministering to the situation where you are. It's not just an intellectual something, but it goes beyond intellect and it goes into the realm of revelation. You know, it goes into the realm of the divine. He's overshadowed your soul and he's revealing himself to you. He says it puts new light. He says it gives hope to the dying. This kind of an experience. It gives courage to the weak. It's healing to the sick. It's blessings to the unfavored. Wow. How wonderful it is to step into the light of his presence. And these majors stepped into the light of his presence and they were spellbound. And it was all that they needed and more. It's everything that we're ever looking for, everything that we're ever searching for. All of their studies and all the deep calling to the deep, all the things they found in part before, now they found the fullness. Amen. Now they knew what it all meant. Now it all made sense to say, this is why he brought us to this place at this time. Now this is what all the things in our lives have been leading us to, is to this, and it was worth it. Amen. Now the song says, nearer my God to thee, even though it be a cross that raises me. Sometimes the Lord has to put you through hard things to break you down so he can reveal himself again. And when he reveals himself, you don't complain a little bit about what you went through. You say it was more than worth it. Now the revelation once again to your soul, all the process he had to take you like Job, when the Lord came down in the whirlwind and spoke to Job, you never hear Job complaining one thing about all the things he went through. Only thing he's repenting of is the foolish things that he said while he was waiting for the Lord. But his presence, his revelation, all of the human aspect of passes away. All those little quibbly questions that you have, how can God allow me to go so long without getting married? And all these kind of things, you know, the questions. Come in his presence. You'll be like Job, Lord, I put my hand on my mouth. I've uttered words without knowledge. Because you know, when you get in his presence, you know, you always had it under control. Amen. My life has always been in your hands. Right. And when the light shines in once again with a fresh Christmas experience like that, friends, there's nothing more glorious than that. And the prophet says, if you don't experience the supernatural on a regular basis, you get cold and backslidden. It says you may have a clear testimony. Your sins may be under the blood. But if you're not having this, in whatever form, whatever measure, on a regular basis, what happens? The fire dies down. This is how revivals die. Because you don't have this. And then we can't say like Peter and John, such as I have, give I unto you. Because you don't have something to give anymore. Yeah, and we've got hungry people around us. Our children are looking for the divine realities of God. And now this world, our neighbors are perishing. Yeah. And we can't say like Peter and John, such as I have, I give unto you. No, we need to go back to him to get something fresh. Then we have something to give. Because when these magi received this experience, now such as they had, they gave it unto him. And it was very appropriate what they gave. Oh, we want to have something to give. Let's wind it down. He says it puts new life. He says it's not a myth. Neither is it something that somebody has just fleshly in their minds drawn up. But it's coming directly into the presence of the King of Glory. The eternal light of the living God. Wow. It happened to them and it's happened to you. And it's happened to me. And friends, I want it to happen again. I want it to happen now. I don't want it tomorrow. I need it now. Because today's challenges need to be met today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but we need it today. We need that. He says, verse 58, when something happens that anchors that hope in you. Imagine the hope that rose up in these men. Wow. Imagine the vision that dawned on them inside of their lives. They knew their purpose now. They knew what it is they needed to do. You know, from this experience, there was a before and an after. From that time, something changed inside of them. He says it's anchored forever. You've stepped into his presence, into a divine light that's changed your innermost being. It's put a joy bell of salvation ringing in your heart that the world knows nothing about. You pass from death to life. Death and its shadows has flown from you, and you become a new creature when you step into this divine light. What do you become? We become children of the light. Now you become a child of the light. You were born in the light. Now what are you supposed to do? Now walk in the light. So they're now born in the light. They become children of the light. But it's not finished yet. We were saying it when we were in Poland as well. We were speaking about that. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, it's wonderful, but the job's just begun. Yeah, when the Lord comes and speaks something to you, like he says to the rich young ruler, Master, how can I inherit eternal life? Sell all that you've got. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. You'll have eternal life. Where was the battle? Not in being in the presence of the Lord and hearing his voice. Wasn't going and laying on the altar what he needed to lay on the altar. You know, going beyond the church service now, going beyond the time when the Lord speaks to you and walking in that light and obeying what it is that he told you to do. Is this not where our revival dies so many times? Yes, sir. Yeah, you're in his presence. You go to the youth meeting, go to the camp, you go to the family camp, whatever it is. You go for special meetings, have all night prayer. The Lord is so real to you at that time. And he shows you what it is that you need to do. He'll come and show you because he's faithful. He'll say, this is the thing that's coming between you and me. This is what's continually hindering you inside your life. You need to lay it on the altar. And while you're there, it's so real. A new hope rises up because you see, that's true. I never realized. Hanging around with these people, yeah? Or fellowshipping with this person, or doing such a thing, or watching such things, or listening to whatever that it is that the Lord speaks to you about. And he's saying to you, this is coming between you and me. We can't go any further unless you deal with this. And in his presence, it's so real. You know exactly what it is that you need to do. Then we leave his presence into the battlefield now. Now we go into the wilderness. Now you've got to be careful. Because Satan's going to do his best to reason you. Remember, Brother Cheslin, reason you away from that revelation. That revelation, if you'll just keep walking at that, don't turn to the right hand or the left. But do exactly what he told you to do. See how he'll bless you. But now you meet your mother-in-law and she says, you're not taking my daughter there. Like the prophet. It was so real at Mishawaka what he needed to do. The vision became clear. His faith anchored. He says, this is what I was looking for all my life. This is what I need to do. All the invitations come in, 1 year's worth of invitations. He knows I've got to go resign from being the pastor of the Baptist. This is the light that I'm supposed to walk in. This is the course that the Lord has sent me to walk in. And he goes and tells his mother, and she's happy. Billy, it's wonderful. I remember those old, you know, shouting Methodists. They used to have this religion. God bless you, son. He goes here, he tells his wife, she's so happy. And then Mrs. Brumback. And then you get the human side in. And you get the reasoning in. And you get the emotion inside. And Satan comes with a counterattack because he sees, hey, I don't like this. This here is heading in the wrong direction. And when the Satan said it's heading in the wrong direction, it's heading in the right direction. And he comes in now. And then Mrs. Brumbeck, and the prophet, I made the greatest mistake I ever made. I listened to her instead of listening to God. It's because if I'd have listened at that time, 1937, 36. He says, the angel would have come to me sooner. Yeah? Imagine if he had gone out to the Pentecostals. The angel would have come to him sooner. The gift would have been ministered. He said there would have been so many more people healed and many more people in glory. He said, but I listened to my mother. And from 1937 to 1946, 9 years, that was hard. He lost the anointing. His church started to go down because the light came and shone upon his path. God made himself so real. He had a real Christmas experience. And he knew what he was supposed to do. Now, the powerful thing about these magi, they didn't allow that to happen. When the light shone, now let's finish it off. The prophet says, paragraph 65, he says, and they watched that star. They didn't know what to do at first, but they're watching the star and just bathing in the glory of the star and just embracing this experience. You know when you have those times when you find a message, like I say, like last week to me, it was that personal experience with God. You listen to a message and it so much speaks to you. You get up the next day, you say, let me listen to another message. You listen to 5 minutes of another message, turn it off. Back to personal experience with God. And you say, wow, that was good. It happened to me for 3 days. Next, I got up again. I started listening to why it had to be shepherd. God, turn it off. Back to that message. Because there's something there. Amen. Stay there. Why quickly run on to something else? If his name is overshadowing that, you found his provided place of worship. Stay in that provided place of worship. Glean everything that you possibly can. And these magi, I'm sure from there, they're waking up extra early, you know, from their sleeping in the day and getting up, they're getting everything. They're just waiting for another experience with the star. Hey, it's still there. And they're worshiping the Lord and they're just bathing into this experience. Now it's going to come to the next part of the junction. Night after night, they watched it and then they looked in the scriptures. And they found the writing of Balaam. There shall rise a star in Jacob. Aha. Now they know where they've got to go. We've got to go to Israel. The star's risen to show the king has been born in Jacob. Jacob is Israel. So what's the first thing they do? The prophet says, there shall arise a star to Jacob. They've seen the scriptures being fulfilled. How their hearts rejoiced. Paragraph 67. As they watched it. Strangely, one night, it began to move. They know where it's going. They know, okay, now it's time for us to move. We've got to do something about this. We can't just be in the convention rejoicing. Praise the Lord. The Lord's saying, hey, I'm giving you this experience for a reason. The light starts to move now. Now, what do you have to do? Move with the light. But the light's moving. It's heading towards the horizon. Maybe the guy's wife is coming and saying, hey, you can't go now, you know. Don't have enough money. I need a new dress or whatever. It's like, you know, the human side's going to come in. But God had vindicated to them exactly what it is they should do. And they just had one thing to do was walk in that light. They just follow that light. It began to move. And we always move with the light. And the light began to move westward. Quickly they packed their camels and all of their royalties. They took their gifts. Yeah? And they took their journey following the light. Because it had to reflect some greater light. They knew the Lord has done this for us, but this is leading us somewhere. Yeah, we need to find him. So they come down to Jerusalem. They go all the way down the Tigris. He speaks about it. They come all the way down, and it's a long journey. It's a perilous journey. Finally, they get to Jerusalem because that's where Jacob is. They're the sons of Jacob. They get to Jerusalem. They come into the city. And the prophet says, as soon as they came into Jerusalem, what happened? The light went out. Why? Does anybody like to guess? Why did the light go out? The prophet says, because now they were supposed to be the light. They didn't need the star anymore. They're the light now. So now they go into Jerusalem. And the prophet says, the whole city, you read the Bible, says the whole city was troubled. Right from the king. That was a serious testimony these guys gave. They came and they were Gentiles coming into a foreign city. That speaks of you and I, guys. Yeah, we've come in a foreign city and we should be troubling the city with our testimony of the things the Lord has done. They went through the city on those big, majestic camels, the prophet says, with those royal beasts with their tapestries and all that. And here comes these wise men through the streets with their message. Where is he? Born king of the Jews. We've seen his star and we've come to worship him. Hey, and the people are troubled. What does this mean? And everybody is asking all these kind of questions. Ah, friends, they were walking in the light. They were shining in the light the best that they could. He goes on to say inside of there, you know why? Because the light had gone out in Jerusalem. There was no light in Jerusalem anymore. The people had the scriptures, but they didn't have the light. So God had to send these people into their city. bathing in that message of the star, to come and testify that we've seen his light. And what did the light testify of? The coming of the Lord. You see, in the age, it was the message of the hour. So finally they come to Herod. And Herod says, what's his message, you say? We've seen his star in the east. Where is he? Nobody knows. The prophet says they came to the church to find the answers. Nobody knew the answer. That would be a sad situation. Friends, I'm so glad to say people came here today. People will tell them the answer. If somebody comes here wanting to be saved, if somebody comes here wanting an experience with God, there's many people here that'll take them and say, let me show you the way. That's what it's supposed to be. Because such as I have, give I unto you. Yeah, and Jerusalem, the problem is the revival had died. The fire from the revivals of the past had died down. God sent these men in there. It was a divine visitation to Jerusalem. But the sad thing about it, the people of Jerusalem didn't appreciate it. They didn't. What difference did these wise men make in Jerusalem? None. And so they called the Sanhedrin Council. They called the churches together. Where is it that the Messiah's got to be born? Ah, we don't know. They search the scriptures. They find it. Bethlehem. Now all of a sudden the wise men say, okay, we came to the wrong place. He led us here for a purpose, but we're not going to find him here. The prophet goes on in that message saying, but nobody wanted to show them where Bethlehem was. He says, no problem. As soon as they left, what did the king say to them? You go and find him and worship him. When you found him, come and tell us so we can go and worship him. Friend, that is not worship. You don't tell somebody else, you go and pray all night when you've had an experience, you come and help me. No, 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 no. You go and pray yourself. This is an individual thing. That shows that Jerusalem didn't want to worship him. Because the same message that shone on these wise men that made them travel thousands of miles at great risk and great cost was the same message that shone to the Sanhedrin and it never moved them a bit. Although they read in the scripture, he's in Bethlehem, just 6 miles away. They can't even get off their seats and go 6 miles to Bethlehem. But these magi, when they came out now, the Bible says, the light shone once again. And they rejoiced with great joy. And they followed the light. Now let's finish it off when he gets to the end. He says, paragraph 82. They followed it. Now, they notice it hangs lower than it used to do. It's a little closer now. And finally, as they went along praising God through the night, led by the hand of the Lord, till finally the star came to a little stable. And there the star rested over the cave. And these mighty magi, over a year and 6 months in their journey on the road, traveling and watching, following nothing, no other direction than the star, they found the babe. Joseph and Mary. And they brought gifts from their treasure chest. They offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's a progression, friends. He shines the light. You walk in the light. And then you come and you worship him. And then you come and you bring your gifts. Freshly anointed from his presence. And you offer him appropriate gifts. And the final thing that it meant to them was protection. Because as soon as they'd offered those gifts, and those gifts perfectly identified Christ in that age. Listen how he says it. What did the gold represent? He was a king. He wasn't to be made king. He was born king. He was God's eternal king, so they offered gold. And when they offered frankincense, what's that? Perfume, very costly. The best that could be got, what does it mean? The sweet-smelling savor unto God. And what is the myrrh? Paragraph 87. They gave him myrrh also, a very costly but bitter herb. What does myrrh represent? His great supreme sacrifice. His crushed out young life at Calvary with the sins of the world ground him into bits. Gold because he's a king. Frankincense because of his sweet loving life. And myrrh because of his sacrifice for sinners. And God warns them and they go in another way. And you can never ever imagine that those men were ever the same. They were never the same. They never went back to their idol worship. They never went back to the partial truth of the sages and the ancients that they'd been studying before. They'd found pure light. They'd found light that shone about them, light that made him real, light that revealed who they were, light that showed them what they should do, light that showed them what they should do with their gifts, light that protected them, light that led them, light that guided them, light that was everything which they needed and more. And that's exactly what we desire, don't we? As we come into this Christmas season, the prophet says, a personal experience with God, what does it bring you? Listen to what he says. That's what the church needs tonight, is to just stop studying so much theology and get down to the altar and pray until a personal experience burns down into your human heart, burns out all the dullness, and gives you a new vision. Do you desire that today? To come to the altar and say, Lord, burn out the dullness. Lord, burn out the disappointment. Burn out all that which the human side is trying to bring. And Lord, burn down a fresh personal experience inside of my soul. And Lord, renew my vision once again. Give me a fresh anointing, Lord. Give me a fresh experience, Lord. Give me a fresh revelation. Let me be like Moses at the burning bush. That there'll just be the power of transformation will come and transform me. I believe, friends, if we go out into 2025 like that, we'll turn this place upside down. Amen. When you get into Charlestown, the Lord's going to do great things, I do believe. But let's keep our experience fresh with God. That Christmas experience. Think back when he was born in the manger of your heart. Think when he revealed himself. Think when he brought you into the message of the hour, when the original light shone inside of your soul. The impact that it had inside of you. Think back at the different experiences, the mileposts along the way where he's revealed himself to you at certain junctions inside of your life. Oh, friends, he's the same yesterday and today. If he did it to you before, he wants to do it again. He wants to be real. He wants to take us higher. It's a progressive revelation with God. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship and just look to the Lord in this place upon this day. And just to say, Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you give me, Lord, a brand new touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Maybe you've had a real experience with God and you're walking in the light. Why not take out your gift at this season? Why not take out your gold and frankincense and myrrh and put it into his hands? Whatever it is, maybe you've got a testimony. Maybe you've got a song worship, you know, a song that God gave you. Maybe you get a burden in your heart to go and testify in the streets. Give out tracts once again. Take out the gift, whatever gift God has placed inside of you. And in the glory of that light, that original light, you'll see what it is the Lord wants you to present to him this season. Friends, we can give money, that's fine. But that's not what we're speaking about. What he's asking is for us to lay ourselves on the altar as a living sacrifice this Christmas. Burn on. Oh, fire. Oh, A time of prayer, you put yourself before the Lord. Let's sing, "You are the center of my heart." Surely that is who worship is. It's in the heart. The Lord said, "This people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far removed from me." We don't want to be that, saints. Even as you've warmed in worship, as you warm our hands, spiritually speaking, on the word, let's draw our hearts near to Him now and say, "Lord, draw near to my heart because you are the center of my heart. Come and take control. Come and take your throne. And may the Lord bless you." Center of my heart. Today I make a brand new start. Oh Lord, you said, secret hidden spring. God church never ever fail. Neither will any evil against us prevail. You say in the same perfect place.
You are.
brand new start. Lord, you said you'll meet me there. That place, the secret hidden prayer. Sacrifice I want to die. In your presence I will surely prevail. Crucified with Christ, you are the center. Said you need me there. That place, the secret hidden prayer. Let's come to a short season of prayer, saints. I'm sure you have a desire before the Lord, and let's just come and just lay ourselves just for a season on the altar and say, Lord, you are good, Lord. Father, your grace is sufficient for me. Lord, you're all that I need. Lord, you are my satisfying portion. I just want more of you, Lord. Father, Lord, I may look to the north, south, east, and west, but there's only one place that I find my satisfying portion, and that is at your feet, Lord. That is in your presence. That is when you're fellowshipping with me and feeding my soul. That is where you're my shepherd. Then I shall not want. Whatever our needs, let's just come before the Lord for a short season. Let's all pray. I desire that, Father Lord, upon this day as I bring myself and my all unto thee, Father Lord, even upon this day. I just want to worship thee, Father Lord. I just want to bring myself before thee. What a blessed thing that you are, Lord. How blessed is your word. How blessed is your grace. How blessed. in your heart as we ask Brother Dave to pray. Let's remember Brother Mike and his family for losing their grandparent, and Brother Elson as he travels. I think Brother Eric Gadzi as well is traveling to Ghana. So let's pray for him as well for this season. Amen. There's a mic, unless you have a loud voice. Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, humbly do we approach thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Given in our heart. Father, how we thank you, Lord. Even, Lord, for this place, we thank you, Lord. Father, for your presence here, Lord, which makes all the difference.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for ministering to us in your word.
Amen.
Father God, Lord, just to bring us, Lord, to a consciousness of heart and of mind.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Of the day and the season that we are in. Father God, Lord, how, Lord, Jehovah God, we just look to you, that, Lord, this word, Lord, which you have brought unto us even upon this day, Father, Lord God, we received it in our hearts. Hallelujah. Father, let this word never be a tradition, Hallelujah. Lord. Let us never, Father God, Lord, take these things for granted, O Lord. But, O Lord, even as, Lord God, you have, Lord, you've desired of us.
Yes.
That, Lord God, we'd look back, we'd see, Lord God, even how when you birthed, Lord, in our hearts.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, what it meant to us, Lord, it transformed our lives. Lord, we forsook everything, Lord, and we followed thee.
Amen.
So, Lord Jehovah God, let this be in our consciousness, Lord, at this time. Father God, Lord, even as the world would celebrate Christmas in the way that they would. But,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
We know, Lord, Father, what you have done for us, Lord God, through your Son. And, Lord Jehovah God, we know what you continue
Lord.
To do for us.
Amen.
So, Lord, be with us even in this season, Lord. Father, even as we're in a, Lord, in an anticipation, Lord, for Charlestown.
Yes.
Lord, with so much anticipation for what you would do for us there. But, Lord God, we know that what will be done there, Lord, there needs to be an atmosphere. Lord
yes,
God, and
Lord.
That comes from us, Lord.
Amen.
Walking with thee on a daily basis, Lord.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Comes from us, Lord, searching, Lord God, the scriptures, Lord.
Yes.
Father, Lord God, seeing what time and hour it is. Lord, us yielding ourselves even unto thee.
Amen.
Lord, as you guide and as you lead us, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord God, let that be the desire of each and every brother and sister. Lord God, because we know you work in an atmosphere. Father, Lord God, so let there be a one accord amongst us, Lord. Father, let there not be any other desire, any other thought. But Lord, just a oneness, Lord, a one accord, so that, Lord, you can work in that atmosphere in whichever way you would.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the blessing
Amen.
Of the word. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your servant, Lord.
Amen.
Father, who yielded himself, Lord God, so that you could use him. Father, and we trust, Lord God, that as you blessed, Lord God, the speaker, that the hearer as well was blessed, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Father, Jesus, Lord God, for your word, Lord, even that which we heard today, if there was any that needed transformation, there was more than enough to transform in there.
Oh, Lord, yes,
Father, Lord,
Lord
God,
yes,
we just Lord. Pray, Lord. Father, that even as you granted unction, Lord, in the preaching of your word, Father, if there's any that's weighed down, Lord God, by the bondage which comes by Satan, Father, we rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Father, for our heart's desires that your word, Lord, would land in the right place, in the intended place, Lord God, even in our
Please,
souls.
Lord. Yes.
Father, Lord God, so that it can germinate and bear fruit, Lord. Father, that's our desire, Lord.
Yes,
Heavenly Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for even, Lord God, the Sunday school upon this day. Lord God, how you look, Lord, for
Amen.
That divine nature.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, and it comes from walking in the Spirit, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Lord, let that be, Lord God. Let your desire be our desire.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, we just look into you, how we thank you, Lord, for all things which were said and done. We thank you, Lord God, indeed, even for the song worship. Continue to bless the song leader, Lord, the musicians.
Yes.
Father, Lord God, how we appreciate it, Lord. Father, Lord God, even as we moving forward, Lord God, with the program over the coming days and weeks.
Amen.
Lord, we just look into thee. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, and proceedings, Father God, we want to remember once again, Lord, the requests which were put before
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Kadango family, Lord,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
We pray that you'd comfort them, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Not only those that are here, but those in Malawi.
Amen.
Lord, please be with them as they lost, Lord, their grandparent. Lord, please comfort them, Lord Jehovah. Father, and we pray that whatever plans and preparations would be there, may you please meet them in it, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we think of Brother Elson as well and his family.
Amen.
Lord, at a time like this, Lord Jehovah God, when some would be rejoicing, but oh Lord, they've lost too a loved one.
Amen.
And Father, they're traveling at this time to Malawi. Please grant them grace, grant them mercies,
Amen.
Lord. Father, please be with them, Lord. Keep them safe. Lord God, and all that they'll do there, please, may you be in it, Lord, is our prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, there's other requests which, Lord, may not have been spoken, but you know them each one.
Amen.
Some are sick, Lord, and unwell. Please touch them, Lord Jehovah God. Grant them grace and mercies is our prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, how would we go without, Lord God, even just at the mention that there's a possibility of signing, Lord God, with a contractor in this coming week?
Amen.
Oh, Father, we know that, Lord God, your hand is upon everything, Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, Lord God, we pray that, Lord God, let your will be done, Lord. Father, you're the one who has been leading and guiding through it all. Father, even sometimes when we didn't understand, but we're thankful, Lord, that everything was under control in your hand, Lord. So, Lord, we're praying that, Lord God, let all things go well on Wednesday.
Yes.
Father, that we may come back and give you honor, glory,
Amen.
And praise.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we continue to look to you, Lord.
Amen.
You be our portion is our desire. Heavenly Father, and we ask
Lord.
You once again, Lord, Father, whatever plans and preparations we have,
yes.
Lord, these house cottage meetings,
yes.
Father God, Lord, what a blessing it was this Friday gone by.
Amen.
Lord God, we pray you continue to bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
You guide, Lord God, you lead. Father, we pray for the Bible study as well on Wednesday. Lord, may your hand continue to be in it.
Amen.
Lord, even as we ask for your blessing upon us, the saints who are online, Lord, the saints up in the north, be merciful to them is our prayer,
Amen.
Lord.
Yes.
Father, be with us now as we depart and go our different ways. But Lord, you go with us, Lord. You
Amen.
Be with us in our cars, in our homes. You be with us in our hearts and in our
yes,
minds,
Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that everything which we'd meet in the week ahead, Father, Lord, we put you before it, Lord. Be merciful, we pray,
yes.
as we give thanksgiving to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. It's strange coming to a place like this, is it not, Saints? I think Brother Max and Brother Ellie did a tremendous job last week. Because the prophet said, all is coming into a new place. There's all these things you've got to break through. He says, a place like a church that's consecrated to God, it's just so much easier. Now you feel at home. It's just unusual coming to this place. And next week, we're going to be in Carlo, Tyndall College. We'll start a little bit later next week. We'll decide the time because there's a bit more time needed to travel. We don't have such a rush next week. We can go up to 4. So we're just asking saints, come along next week. Bring some food. Bring your traditional dish. Bring the pepe and bring this, that, and the other. And then after church, there's place there for us to have food and stuff, have fellowship. It'll be nice just before Christmas to us have a good time of fellowship. So like Brother David was praying there, so on Wednesday, we're going to be meeting the contractor because this contractor came up with a very good price. So now we don't want to count our chickens before they hatch because last time the contractor stole all the chickens the day before. So, but by the grace of God, we just want to pin everything down. But it was a very good price. And all being well, if everything's signed, then he could start in January, which means we'd be finishing up end of February. So it means only the month of January and February. We've got to continue being pilgrims the way that we are. So please do keep it in prayer. If the, like we say, the I's can be dotted and the T's can be crossed. You know how it is with contracts and with prices and stuff. But it was really a very good price he came with. So we hope next Sunday to come and give a full report on that. The college prayer meetings as well, we heard really good reports. I don't think there's ever been a time in Ireland that so many people were around and about, scattered around in so many places, shining the light of the message. Right from Northern Ireland down to Balbriggan, down to Carlo, city center, Brother George's house. So may the Lord bless each and everybody who's involved in that. And if anybody needs transport for those things, because I know sometimes it's difficult, please do let us know. Let the deacons know. We can try our best to help as much as we can. Because it's a very good thing to gather together in the house and to pray. There's something special about it. I'm sure everybody found that on Friday. It's so personal. It's so nice. You know, it's not like in church where it's more like somebody standing in front preaching and everyone else saying, you need to go home and eat our dinner. It's nice in a house and afterwards you can fellowship and all that. So try your best to be there, take your family along. It was a very wonderful atmosphere at Brother Ngoni's house. Sister Sarah was playing the piano and Brother James leading the songs and prayer. It was just a really, really nice time. So may the Lord help us in these months ahead. So God bless saints, safe journey. Let's dismiss whatever Brother George has for us.
Come out
come in, come on. The spirit of Elijah
turns us
back. Come and drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. The spirit and the bride to come out, come in, come out. Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Oh, come and drink of this rock. Spirit on the bride, say come. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Never fear. Come and drink of this rock.